No trespassers in the temple. We're going to talk about no trespassers in the temple. You'll be amazed at the verse of scripture where we'll go tonight. But this is, God just clearly put this on my heart for you. And turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. It was during the time of prayer and fasting that God put this on my heart as we come out of the 3 days of prayer and fasting that we should speak on this. It's a very powerful portion of scripture. You know it so well. Mark 11, and we're going to read a few verses together. Verses 20. Actually, we can just start reading from verse 22. Mark 11, verse 22. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. Another translation says, have the faith of God. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and that ye shall have them. Verse 25. And when you stand praying, now this is directly linked to this portion of scripture. He's not making a change here. He says, and when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So there is a clause attached to this powerful mountain-moving prayer. But this verse of scripture that I want to bring to your attention is verse 15 and 16. And 16 is the main verse here. Listen to what it says. Verse 15, they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer, this is the verse, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Now, Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight that never at any time do we come here with our own wisdom or our own understanding. And clearly, clearly I know that you put this into my spirit, because when I was in prayer and studying the scriptures, this is what you impressed on my heart. And then, Lord, you opened up this verse of scripture to me to bring a word to your people tonight. So I come tonight and I stand totally in your grace. Lord, I stand in your strength. I know that there's a weakness in me. I don't have the capability or the wisdom or the knowledge to instruct your people in that which is life. Only you have that power. So, Father, I thank you tonight that you're going to take your word and you're going to create life in every single heart that receives it tonight in Jesus' name. And, Father, I thank you that we can bind every work of darkness, that, Lord, any devil that try to come into the house tonight to disrupt our hearts, our minds, we bind in Jesus' name. Lord, nobody in the house tonight should suffer under any kind of affliction from the devil. Lord, every one of us should come in and have a freedom to hear what you're saying. Now, Lord, we bring every thought into captivity tonight, that no thought that it lifts itself higher than Christ should rob us of your word in Jesus' name. So, Father, we bind the works of the enemy. We command that devil to go in Jesus' name, and every thought pulled into captivity to the knowledge of Christ and to his obedience in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, don't let your mind wander or be robbed tonight. Amen. No trespassers in the temple. This is, and it's from this verse 16, and he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Now, beloved, the Bible records that there are many kinds of deliverances that God gives to us. If you go back into the book of Judges and read through chapter 15, you'll come across Samson and some of the struggles that this man went through. But we find that when Samson in verse 14, 15, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. Now, he was bound with new cords, and he was being tempted that particular time, but he said, you know, if I am bound with brand new cords, then there's no strength, and I won't be able to break loose, and you'll have a victory over my life. And we know that he was being tempted, but he was also tempting the Philistines into a battle that God could avenge the children of Israel against the works of darkness. But I see this as a type tonight, as many people get so bound by the devil. And it seems like a brand new cord. It might be an old temptation, but a new cord seems to have bound your life. But there are many deliverances, and the Bible tells us that when the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burned with fire, and the bands loosed from off his hands, and he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And so we understand by the scriptures that regardless what it is that seems to bind us, with God, it's like a cobweb. It's nothing. It doesn't matter how big a thing that you might think it is, but whatever the devil puts around about us, it's like a cobweb to God. And as soon as the Holy Ghost came upon Samson, these things were broken as easy as cobwebs or as flax burned with fire. So the power of God can come upon us. Some of us have had that experience. I have spoken to different men and women who have come to this altar, and different altars and different places that we have ministered in the past, and they come to an altar absolutely bound with drugs or homosexuality or some heinous sin. And it's just an amazing thing. I remember my own conversion, coming to an altar, and I dabbled in some drugs, but nothing too heavy or binding. But in one night, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, not only were the sins broken out of my life and the power of those things broken, there was no more desire or power to captivate me after that. Others have come to this altar, and there's been just a powerful work. But it's not always like that. Not everybody comes to an altar and there's an immediate power from God and a deliverance. But it happens. It's one way that God brings deliverance. When I think of this man called Zacchaeus, he's a thief, he's a tax collector, he's a Jewish man, but he's working for the Romans, and he's collecting Roman tax against the people, and he cheats. He's made himself wealthy. And he was a short man, and we could say he was short of integrity, because the Bible says that he was the chief publicans, and he was rich because he actually stole. He was short on friends. He was the guest. He associated with sinners. He was short on honesty. He took by false accusation. But yet Jesus knows this man by name. But the amazing part of the story is that he climbs up this tree. He says, I want to see this Jesus as he goes by. So we have a Samson where there's a power that just breaks the bonds that hold. Nothing more than his presence. And they come into his presence. Listen to what the Bible says. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he has gone to be the guest with a man who that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods. So here is this man, Zacchaeus. Jesus just comes into his house. There's no record that Jesus says, you are a sinner. I have been watching you by the Spirit, that you've been defrauding people all along, and you've made yourself wealthy by stealing. Nothing is mentioned. Jesus just comes into the house, and the Bible records, and Zacchaeus stood. So here comes Jesus into the house, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Nobody convicted him. Nobody said anything to him. But here is the power of God at work just by the very
presence of Christ. Just by coming into the presence of Jesus Christ, there is a work of conviction that's going on in this man's heart. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, now Jesus didn't say to him, this is what you've got to do. It was already there by the mere presence of Christ. We see this man getting set free from a life of sin and theft. I restore fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he is also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So the Bible records that there are times when the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, will just come upon us and there's a great deliverance. Few and far between. It happens. But the people who get saved like that, it's few and far between. But I've spoken to people who just come into the house. They come out of the street. They walk into this place. And because the presence of Christ is here, they begin to get convicted in their hearts. That's what the presence of God does. We've had altar calls. We've just worshipped. The choir has sung and we've been worshipping the Lord. And Pastor Carter has got up and he's just made an altar call without any preaching of the Word of God. And we've seen people come flooding to the altar and give their life to Christ. What is it? It's the presence of Christ. It's the presence of Christ that touches our heart, touches our lives. But beloved, tonight I want to talk to you about another way that God comes to us. And I read in the scriptures in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 all the way down to verse 25 or 26. And in there, there's another way that God speaks to our hearts. And there comes a time when God is so worked into our lives. And as we're walking with Him, that He puts an authority in your heart and your mouth that you say to the mountain, go in Jesus' name. He'll be with you. You see, there can be times of absolute power comes down from heaven. There's other times it's just the mere presence of Christ begins to convict us and we're loosed of our sins. But there comes times as well that I have known in my life where I have got to just stand on the Word of God, that God puts a word into my heart, and I say to that mountain, in Jesus' name, I command you to go. It doesn't move unless God, and God puts that authority into your heart and into your life. It's part of what God does in our lives. And He wants to give us that authority. In fact, I would say, to the most part, that's how it works in most people's lives. I think it's for most people, we come to a place where, God, I'm not going to take any more attack of the devil. I stand on the Word of God and say, devil, in Jesus' name, go. I can't tell you how many times there's been, I remember this one time that my wife and I have shared this with you a few times in the past. But there was this one time that my wife and I, every time we got down to pray, we, for some reason, we agitated each other so bad, we couldn't pray. And I said, you go and have your quiet time, because we pray together every single day of our lives. And this, like she is right tonight, she's traveling with Bettina, she's away, so I haven't prayed with her today. But when she's home, we pray every single day. But there was this one occasion where we couldn't pray together. Every time we'd get down together, for some reason, something would just kind of get inside of our heart or our something that she said or something I said. And then she'd make some remark and I'd make another remark. And before we know it, we're having intense fellowship, because Christians don't fight. They have intense fellowship. We saved, so we have this intense fellowship. And so this went on for a few days. And then she came to me one time and she said, you know, I think that we need to just go through our house. Because I used to do a lot of counseling in the house. And we would just bind devils and there'd be all kinds of stuff going on in our house. It was just an awesome time. And she said, I think we should just go through the whole house and just pray in every single room. Because the devil is against us. This is not natural. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I think that the problem is you. So, in my flesh, I don't think I want to walk through the house praying in every room, to be honest. I remember that so clearly. I didn't want to do it. I didn't believe that kind of stuff. I believe in my heart, you say, devil, you go in Jesus' name, you should be gone. And anything else after that is a problem of the flesh. And so, we got this problem. So anyway, she's going on and on and on and on. Let's go through the house and pray. So I said, okay. We'll do this. Shall we get into the one room? I pray in Jesus. She says, you pray. So I start praying, in Jesus' name, devil, I command you. You go out of this bedroom and out of this place. I'm praying up a storm. And so okay, let's go to the next one. By the time we get to the third room of the house, I'm actually into this. I'm now into this. I'm having a great time praying in every room, binding devils. Devil, get out of this place called strife. You go. So by the time we get to the basement, man, we're having a prayer meeting like you can't even believe. And so we get down to the bottom there, and see, when we got to the basement, we got down again once we'd prayed through the house and we began praying. Now, I don't know, beloved, to this day, I'm not going to say that the house was loaded with all these devils we cast out of people, or the devil came in with all these people that came and all these lying spirits and all this junk. I'm not saying that they left because we prayed. It might have happened that way, but I'm not going to just, unequivocally say that's what happened. It may have happened that way, but I know one thing for sure, that when we began praying and we got unified together in the name of Jesus, by the time we got to the bottom, boy, there was a team together. We were praying as a unit and a team, and the thing was busted over our lives, and we got back to praying like we would. All I say with that illustration is to come back and say, there is a time and a place when God's power will just come upon us and things are broken. Thank God for those times. And there's times that we walk into the presence of God in the house and we are so convicted by just being in His presence that we start confessing our sins and we are loosed and set free. But I want to tell you, there are definitely times, more times than not, that God says, I put a word in your mouth, you stand up in my name and rebuke the devil. Get that mountain out. You do it. I've given you authority. I've broken all power of the devil, and I give you authority to do it in Jesus' name. And I believe that with all of my heart. I've seen more things take place by standing on the word and binding the devil than any other time. So He says, speak to the mountain, and it shall go. Now, when you understand this part of Mark, this part of the scriptures, when this is given, if you go back to chapter 11, verse 1, and you start reading through, this is the week of His passion. By the end of the week, He's going to be on the cross. It's time of the Passover. So you've got to understand, all of Jerusalem is a hubbub going on. All this activity is taking place because the Passover is about to take place in a few days. And so when Jesus comes in, He's coming in on the very first day of the seventh day of this week where the Passion is, and He's going to be crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. So this is the first day. So chapter 11, verse 1 is the very beginning that Jesus is coming in. So He's coming in as a king. He's coming in riding upon this donkey, and He's riding up to Jerusalem, and they're singing Hosanna unto Him, and they're worshiping Him. Everybody is singing out Hosanna, blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so this is the resounding. So Jesus is coming in as a king. Now it's very important to understand, on the first day, He comes in as a king. Now whenever a king would come into a new land that was conquered, or a new government was set up, it's very important to understand and to see the very first acts that a king would do. Some kings, when they took over a land, they conquered some land. One of the very first things they did, even the kings of the Old Testament, some of the very first acts, what they would do would tell you what kind of a kingdom this is going to be, by how they reacted. Some kings would come into the land and they would kill everybody what was related to the last king. Go right through the whole family, kill them all. They didn't want any problems with the family members, and so they would just kill them all. And they would go into the prisons, and all those that were political prisoners, they would just kill them. And so you understood when a king would do that, that you're going to be in for a tough time with this king. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Other kings would come into the land, and when they would come in, they would do different things. They would give a pardon to all those that were in prison. They would give amnesty to those that were maybe there illegally. So there would be a lot of acts that these kings would do. So you would know under that rule of that king that there was going to be a time of peace. This was going to be a good king just by the simple first acts that they do. Now understand, Jesus is coming in as a king to Jerusalem on the first day. This is the first day of the Passion. He comes in chapter 11, verses 1 all the way through 11. He comes in as a king. This next day, the first act that he does as he's coming in as a king into Jerusalem, the first act that he does on the second day of the Passion is he goes into the temple. The first day he comes in as king and they're shouting Hosanna, and he walks in, he goes into the temple and he takes a good look around what's going on. Date number two, he comes into the temple and he begins to upturn all of the tables of the money changers and those that were selling doves and animals. He goes through, he gets a cord, he makes a whip out of this thing. And so you understand that this king who comes in to his kingdom, we understand when we take a look at this whole procedure of what is taking place with Jesus, we understand that if King Jesus is coming into our lives, his kingdom is going to be characterized by this, that when he comes into his kingdom, when he comes into a heart, he's going to first of all cleanse it. There's going to be a cleansing. So when he comes in as king, he's not going to come in as king with all this money changing going on and all the selling of animals in the house of God. And we are the temples of the Holy Ghost. And so when the king comes into this life, we understand the very first thing that he's going to do, he's going to come in with a cleansing. He's going to cleanse this temple if he's going to abide in it. And so he's going to upturn the tables of the money changers and all of those things. Now, the second thing that he does on day three, and this is the portion of scripture that I read to you, is day three. So this is day one, he comes in as king, he takes a look around, he curses the fig tree. Day two, they recognize the fig tree is dried up and he upturns all the tables. And we know that the first act that this king does is he cleanses out the temple. Act number two is that he then empowers those that he's cleansed. And this is in day number three. It's so important to understand that all these things are given to us. So then he commissions the disciples and he shows them. He says, you have faith in God. In other words, he's saying, don't be like these people, but I want to show you something. You have faith in God. And you can say to every single mountain that gets in your way, go in Jesus' name, it'll be gone. So we understand that when King Jesus comes into a life, he's going to cleanse us for this purpose, that he can have his authority in a clean vessel. And we can walk with a cleansed vessel, and we can say to every single mountain that comes in Jesus' name. That's why he says, I'm going to send you out, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It's because his authority will be worked in and through those vessels that he has cleansed. And so it's important to see that that's what he does. So he cleanses the temple. The trade was at its peak because it was the Passover time. So the money changers were there at the entrance, at the court of the Gentiles. And so the Gentiles couldn't worship God. They'd taken up all the space because they're making the changes for the half shekel of the temple money. And they're making it with a great extortion. They're robbing the people. And then behind them are the sellers of the doves, all the cooing and the bleating of the sheep was behind them. And the Lord says that you've made the house of God a den of thieves. It makes it interesting to understand that John 10:10, I always used to put this with the devil. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I tell you, I see this in a new light. Whenever we allow like these people, these things to come into the house of God, we're stealing from people. Whenever the house of God is filled with every kind of program other than the presence of God, we're robbing from the people. And Jesus says, I've come to give them life and life more abundantly. And then he gives them a commission. Now, in this commission, I'll give you a little bit of background, then I'm going to touch this one aspect. In the commission, he says, and you go back to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. So we understand that way back prophesied that Jesus, when he's talking about this in the book of Mark, about saying to this mountain, we understand that when you stand up in the name of Jesus and you say to that mountain that is before you, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. If you have faith in your new faith in God, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. You've got to understand that Jesus Christ is linking that to Zechariah. He's saying that this will be a work of the Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Ghost, that God wants his people to rise up, and in front of every single mountain that comes in your way, he says, I'm going to give you authority in the power of the Holy Ghost to say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. How many of us want somebody to lay hands on us in the mountain to go? You want somebody else to pray for you. You want just to come to an altar and the power of God to meet you and the presence of God to convict you. But there comes a time, beloved, when you have prayed and that thing is still in your life that maybe God is saying to you, you say in my name, and the Holy Ghost will be with you. Because that's what the Holy Ghost said in Zechariah, that God will be there by the power of the Spirit to save that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And so we understand that linked to our faith in saying to the mountain is the Holy Ghost. But now look at this. He wants us to say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart, it shall be, and believe in those things that shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So God wants that to take place. But listen to what he says in verse 25. And then he said, when you stand praying, forgive. Yeah. So it's so important to understand that before we pray, we should actually read it backwards. When we stand praying, forgive. Yeah. Forgive. So he said, I want you to proclaim that forgiveness. When you stand praying, forgive if you have ought against any. So he says, I want you to forgive. Not to forgive is to act out unbelief. You cannot stand and say, mountain, in the name of Jesus, go, be cast into the sea, but in your heart, you're holding some kind of resentment to the brother next to you. You can't do it. Jesus says, yes, the Holy Ghost is going to be with you. Yes, I'm going to commission you. As a king coming into your life, I'm going to cleanse your life. And then I'm going to commission you. I'm giving you authority in my name to say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. But it's predicated on this, that you stand as you pray, make sure that you don't have ought against somebody else. Now, the word ought in the original language is an interesting word. It just means whatever. It's nothing deep, folks. It just means you're going to with somebody that you came into house with. It just means anything from the smallest to the largest thing in your heart. So it makes sense. Don't think that you can have intense fellowship with your wife and then pray, God, thank you that you're going to remove this mountain in Jesus' name. Because when you pray, the mountain's still there. He says, you need to forgive. You need to go to the person, or you need to cry out and say, God, forgive me for that person. Now listen to me. He goes on and saying, he says, if you do not forgive, neither your Father in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. So he cleanses the temple of the money changers. When you do not forgive, you are keeping money changers in your heart. You see, beloved, unforgiveness, when somebody does something to us and we don't immediately forgive them, we have allowed the money changers to set up their table again because we want to extract payment from the person on our terms. It's an extortion, and we want to exact payment on our terms on how the forgiveness should be exacted to us. He says, what you're doing is I come and I clean all the stuff away. I come and I forgive you. You're an extortionist. You're a money changer. This is who we are. He says, when I come into your temple, I come and I cleanse you. I forgive you all of those things. But if you hold unforgiveness to anybody else, then you're allowing the same tables that Jesus just cleansed to be set up again. Because we hold payment against people. I know that we do this in my own heart. You know why I know you do it? Because I do it as well. Somebody does something to me, It's so hard just to go to them and say, oh, I forgive you, I love you, praise God, I'm so glad you hurt me. It just gives me a chance to worship God and to forgive, and so I can say to the mountain, be thou removed. No, we don't operate that way. We are so bad, because when we get hurt and wounded in our heart, we stop speaking to them. And the moment we stop speaking or we smile, praise the Lord, how are you? Fine, just keep away from me, praise the Lord. We're extracting a payment. So they come, they might not even know what they've done. This is why the Bible says, if you have aught, and the word aught means whatever. It can be the smallest thing to the largest thing. It just means a wide range. It means aught, anything, whatever it is. Someone might go by you and snub you, and you've got this thing churning on the inside of you. And the next thing, you've got a money changer coming up. You want them to make some kind of payment. If you're married, you want your wife. Do you know how many men make their wives pay some kind of tribute to them and make them huge payments? There's wives walking on eggshells, making the best kinds of meals, don't even know what's going on because the husband has got them held at ransom. I want to tell you, if you are that kind of a man, you've got money changers set up and God will never hear your cry. The mountain remains in your life. And this is what God's trying to get to us. He's trying to reach those money changers. He's trying to get to those areas in our life. But listen to me. When he goes down here, he goes on further and he says, that your Father which is in heaven, it says, forgive aught against any, that your Father, this is verse 25, also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now the word trespass there is not a heinous sin. The word trespass there literally means a fault. It means the small things that we dance around. It's the small issues. He's not talking about a heinous sin of adultery or abuse. He's not talking about that. And it's so important to understand this. He's saying, linked directly with the moving of a mountain is not just the heinous sins. He's making sure that he says he's talking about the small issues in life that we tend to dance around and never deal with. He says, you've got to deal with them unless your Heavenly Father is not going to forgive you unless you deal with the small issues. You see, beloved, it's not enough to know I'm forgiven of my sins. It's enough for me to understand that when I even come against, have an attitude in my heart that I should say, God, forgive me of this thing. It's not enough just to have the major sins dealt with. God is after a purity in heart that we watch every single attitude that's going on in this place. Now we understand when Jesus, now go back with me and understand what he's saying here. Listen to what he says. Verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrow the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. So we thank God for all of that stuff. He pushes it all off. Get all out of our lives. And so what it means to us today is that he comes in and he cleans up our life. There's a cleansing that takes place. But look at verse 16. Don't bypass the small things that Jesus does. They are recorded there for our learning. It's a small verse. How many people have read this verse and just moved on to the next verse? Verse 17, and taught them, saying, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? We love that verse of scripture. But how many people can quote verse 16? And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple? Well, that's like a nondescript verse. What depth is there to that? So he gets all these money changers tables pushed out. And then he sees this man coming through the temple carrying a vessel on his head. He says, hey, hold on, stop. No more are you going to trespass in the temple. And he stopped them right there. He said, no. You see, in those days, because of the wall that surrounded, the huge wall that surrounded the temple, then for somebody to go to the other side of Jerusalem, it was like another 45 minutes to an hour walk around all the houses and all up the roads and downs and go all around this temple to come around to the other side. And so from the sheep gate, it was a real simple thing to come through the sheep gate and then cross the courtyard, through the court of the Gentiles, go right across the temple, and then go on the other side of Jerusalem. So Jesus says, no, I'm not going to let you trespass through here. The second thing is with these people, what he was dealing with here, that he should have no man carry any vessel through the temple. Now the priests allowed only those to take the shortcut if they were carrying something. So if there was a vessel that they were carrying, they were allowed to come in. Because the second reason was that these people were coming in, they weren't coming in the front gate, they were coming in the side gate, and they were replenishing everything that was going on in the temple. So when they were running low of pigeons or doves or something, they would take this person and they would come in with this vessel and come in and bring it in and place it down on the table again. And so these were the runners. These were the people bringing in small amounts of issues that they needed in the temple. And Jesus sees us. It's not enough to stop all of this stuff, to cleanse you out of all of these things that are going on in your heart and life. And we need to have those things cleansed. But Jesus also stops them coming in carrying these vessels. Now I want to tell you something. This is what the Holy Ghost spoke to me as clear as anything. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. See, it's not enough just to say, I'm cleansed. But how many of us allow somebody to traffic through our mind with little issues? This is not a big vessel. This is a small vessel with small issues to them. They're just replenishing those things that were on the table. So if one table was running low of something, they would send for a runner and he would go down. And here he comes with this vessel carried on, coming in with this one issue. It wasn't a lot of things he was bringing in. And this is what Jesus is talking about here in this forgiveness. He says, we allow all these little issues to trespass in the temple. We allow them to come in and trespass into our hearts and our minds. It's not big things. It's little things. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to let you come into the temple. There's no trespassing in the temple. You can't bring not one small vessel through this place. And he stopped it. See, beloved, that's the authority. That's what I believe that Jesus is talking about here when he goes on to teach his disciples. He's saying to the disciples, I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to give you authority in my name to say to these men, but, if you don't deal with, if you allow traffic to keep going on in your life, well, it's not such a big thing. No, Jesus stopped the little things. It was not enough for Christ to cleanse you from the big things. He wants to stop the little things from coming in. The little irritations. The little things that begin to invoke anger or displeasure in our hearts. How many times do we get upset with somebody and then in our heart we cultivate this going on? It's not a big thing. It's not going to send you to hell. It's not going to wreck anything, but I tell you what it is going to do. It's going to stop you from having the kind of faith that says to the mountain, be thou removed and gone. See, this is what Jesus is interested in. It's not the little thing. It's the little things that God is saying, watch how they come into your life and how you give them access. You, the priest of your own household, you've got authority. See, the priests allowed them to come in and through, but Jesus said, no, I'm cleansing, I'm stopping you from trading, and I'm not letting you come and trespass into the temple. I'm not going to let the little things come in. You have the authority to stop the little things from getting in and settling back into the temple. See, if Jesus had just cleansed us and allowed these little things to come in, but this is what is happening all the time. People say, I've got no faith, I pray, but nothing seems to happen. But if you sit down with them and you begin to ask them about certain issues of their heart and life, they were allowing a lot of little traffic coming in and they're trespassing in the temple of their heart. How many of you go home and click on the internet and allow just a little trespass into your heart? It's not going to send you to hell, but it's going to affect your faith. It's going to affect you believing God that when you come against the attacks of the enemy, God says, I give you authority to say that mountain, be thou removed, and it'll obey you. He says, that's the kind of faith that I'm giving you in God. I'm giving you a faith in God that you can say to that mountain, to that tree that begins to grow with roots of bitterness and resentment. I'm saying to you that you can say to these things, you root of bitterness, you tree, you unproductive fruit in my life, I command you to go in Jesus' name, and Jesus, it'll go. That's the authority that he's giving. But he says, if you don't deal with as cleansed believers, as men and women of God in the house of God, if you are allowing traffic through the temple all the time, maybe this one is just coming through and passing on. He's not staying, he's just passing through. How many of us will pick up a magazine, watch something on television? Oh, we're not going to camp there. It's just passing through. He said, no, you stop those things. Halt them in the tracks. Don't let them stop, because the next time they're going to stop and unload their little vessel in your life. Folks, it's not a big thing. It's not a whole lot of things that he's going to unload in your life. But it is a small issue. And the most important fact of it is this, that Jesus is saying, this is why he says to them, that when you stand praying, forgive. Release it. Let it go. Don't hold it. Forgive it. Don't keep it. Don't let that person dump these little vessel into your life. He says, because your Father in heaven won't forgive you your little trespasses, and they grow to big trespasses. And then the end result is that when you want to stand against the devil, you've got no power. He says, I don't know, and you hit the altar again and again because, God, I know there should be authority in your name, but I just don't seem to be able to get rid of this huge mountain in my life. And so then you go back and say, well, I just want power to do it. And I'm telling you, it's when we don't deal with the small issues of our life that we start hunting and looking for somebody who's got the power to do this in our lives. And that's when you get into trouble, because you start finding some harlotan, somebody who you pay them some money to prophesy in your name and tell you how great you are. Beloved, I tell you, it's so important to stop the traffic coming through the temple. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Don't let it happen. I know that tonight, most of us, I mean, even today, how can I preach something to you when my own heart convicts me? How can I tell you that I sit for 3 hours in a dentist chair drilling away in Novocaine and you think this is fun, and then, but when I come back, I'm agitated and my words are not nice. Someone speaks to me, yeah, praise God. It's a little traffic. It's a little unloading of a little something going through. Does God want me to make sure that even when I am upset or I'm not enjoying my day because I've spent 3 hours on my back while someone is drilling into my head and I'm not enjoying this, then I take my attitude out on somebody else? Is it only good if everything goes my way? Am I just a nice person when I've had coffee and I'm having a great day? No. Jesus says, you take control even of the little thing that comes in. Even the little traffic of the guy walking by and says, it's okay to have a bad attitude. Yeah, you can talk roughshod over somebody. They're big enough, they're old enough Christians to deal with it. No. I'm not going to let... Yes, he's cleansed me of these big things. But what about the small guy that comes along? I'm not going to let... You see, Jesus, that's why it's so important that when we read the Word of God, that we read everything that Jesus did, because it's important to us. It's because your faith rests on doing what He does. Lord Jesus, thank you for cleansing. Thank you for stopping all the traffic through my mind. I'm not going to... There's people here tonight. The traffic can be unforgiveness. The traffic can be condemnation. How many of you have stumbled and fallen of late and you're allowing this person to come through your temple, through your mind, through your heart of condemnation? How many are sitting here tonight with condemnation? And here's this guy with this... It's not a big condemnation, but it's enough. And all he's doing is just pouring this condemnation out because this is a money changer. And just pouring it out in your heart. And you're sitting here. You've had a tough week. Maybe you did get mad. Maybe there's attitudes in your heart. And you sit there and think, God, you know, I'm such a sinner. No, He's cleansed you. Your faith is affected. Deal with the traffic. All it is, sometimes we're going to just stop the little guys coming through with the vessels and unstopping and unloading them in our hearts and lives. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Tonight, I'm not going to continue. I've got a whole bunch more here, but I'm not going to finish. Tonight, I'm coming to the altar because I got to stand and when I pray, I got to say, God, forgive me for just having such a rotten attitude. It wasn't much. It was just a little thing. It was just barking here and bark over here. We're not perfect. I think you'd prefer me to be honest than to say, praise the Lord, how are you? And in my heart, not enjoy your company. And so there's this thing. So there's this little guy coming in, and the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart before I got to this pulpit to preach and said, you got traffic. Here comes one coming right now. Stop him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So when I meet a real attack, I can say to the mountain, be thou removed. Amen? Let's stand together. Father, tonight we just bow our heads in your presence. And Lord, it's such a simple message. No, it's not complex at all. It's just so simple. And I want to just thank you tonight that you have taken all of the big things, Lord, and you have just cleansed me. But you also stopped the traffic. No vessel to trespass in the temple. Now, Lord, tonight every eye is closed and you're speaking. And you've wondered why in your heart that there is no results when you pray. Other people get results. But there's some of you here tonight that you are so angry at your spouse. It's a seething that goes on inside of you. Nothing big, but somebody has come along, some traffic, and unloaded their vessel of anger. Nothing big. Your countenance is, you're always good, you're always smiling. And I'm speaking to some wives tonight. I know that there's some women here tonight, and there's an anger that just has settled into your spirit. Nothing evident, doesn't manifest, but you know it's there. Somebody has just left a vessel in your heart. You need to deal with it. You need to give it to Christ. It's affecting your faith. It's affecting your ability to pray with confidence. The devil's after your confidence in Christ. And as long as these things persist, you don't have the confidence to pray with authority in Jesus' name. There's some men here tonight, and there's condemnation in your heart, and it may be a little bit bigger vessel, but instead of letting it just go right through, you keep walking, buddy, don't stop. You've let them stop and unload that money changer, that payment, and you're making payments yourself. You see, the money changers don't ever make payments on other people, but you make payments you won't forgive yourself. So you're making your own payments. I want to tell you, I'm hoping tonight that God is opening your eyes to see that it's nothing more than traffic that's come in and been unloaded into your life. And tonight the blood of Jesus is going to clean it. Yeah. Jesus stopped these things, and tonight we're going to stop them. Young people, some of you young people are having traffic of lust and things going through your mind and the way you look and the way you perceive yourself and you're condemned. It's traffic. It's affecting your faith. God wants you to have faith in God. He says, have the faith in God. And you can say to this mountain, that's what God wants for every person in the house. Now, Holy Spirit, you deal with the small foxes that have come in to spoil the vines tonight. You know them tonight, beloved. And we're going to deal with them at this altar so that you can leave tonight with a confidence that you can say to that mountain, be thou removed, and it'll go in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a song. God's spoken to you. Let's get rid of them. Come to this altar. Just step out. Come to this altar tonight. And let's leave these vessels right here at the altar. We're just going to give them to Christ. We're going to leave them at the cross. I'm putting mine tonight. You've got to believe it. My attitude was not the best. Wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. I'm putting that vessel right there at the cross and walking free from it tonight. No condemnation in my heart tonight. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So Paul, writing to the Colossian church that was being inundated with false teachers and false doctrines, these were men and women allowing traffic to come into their lives, and Paul writes them and says, no, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Don't let these things dwell in you. Don't let these accusations of the devil, don't let these condemnations, don't let these little vessels of stuff that comes in. Folks, they're little things. It's not going to send you to hell, but it robs your confidence and your faith in Christ. And Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let that come and dwell in us and sing in spiritual songs. That's why all day I'm telling you, I sing and I worship. I let these things just permeate my whole being. When he writes to Corinthians, to the Corinthian church, he says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And so he says, so Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, he says, God wants you to understand that every single promise in the Bible, in Christ, is yes to you. It's yes. Don't let these things settle in you and rob you of these great promises. So when you read a promise in God's word, do you have a confidence to lay hold of it and say, thank you, Jesus, this is mine? See, most of us don't have that confidence. And I'll tell you why. It's not because you're not saved. It's not because of any other reason, but somewhere along the line, you've let traffic come into your life. Somebody or something has trespassed the temple and have left their wares in your heart. Tonight, we're going to take those. Jesus cleansed the temple, and then he took those vessels and he said to them, stop. You're not coming through. Stop. Stop. Condemnation. Stop. Lust. Stop. Sin, little anger, resentments. Stop. You're not coming through. No. No, he stopped them. Beloved, this is why he said, you say to the mountain. You say to the mountain, go. See, so you've got to say in the name of Jesus, condemnation. You stop. If you don't stop the traffic, it's going to keep traversing through the temple, leaving more and more and more and more in your heart. Tonight, all I want you to do, I'm going to pray that God will just cleanse us. And then I want you, in your own prayer, just to say to whatever's bothering you, you stop. You're not coming through this temple. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of me, and I'm not having any traffic come through my life. Now, you pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the blood that washes me and cleanses me of all sin. When you come into this temple, you cleanse it. You purge us. You remove all sin. Thank you, Jesus, that right now, my life, this temple of the Holy Ghost, is clean by the blood of Jesus. I am clean, but you did something else. Lord, you stopped the traffic from coming into this temple. There's no shortcuts. I'm not letting anything, no small vessel. It doesn't matter how small it is. It's not coming into this temple. I stop it in Jesus' name. Now you give it to him. Just give him that vessel right now. You know what it is. Just say, Jesus, I give it to you. You don't have to say it out loud, but just say, Jesus, I give it to you. The Bible says when you stand praying, just forgive. If there's somebody that you need to forgive, just say, God, I forgive them right now. God, I forgive them. Just say it. Just say it in your heart. Say, God, I forgive them. Jesus said, when you pray, forgive from your heart. It's the small things, the small trespasses. It's the faults that we dance around. It's the small issues that we don't deal with. We just dance. Now give it to him. Say, God, I forgive. God, release me from these things. Now, beloved, by faith, I want you to see in your own heart that you take this vessel, whatever has been dumped into your heart, I want you to see it. Right now, you're taking it and giving it to Jesus. Leave it at the foot of the cross right now. Put it there. And then put your hand up by faith and just say, devil, you stop. No more. You cannot come into this temple. I stop you in Jesus' name. I stop you right now in Jesus' name. You cannot come into my mind. You cannot come into my heart. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's a house of prayer, and you cannot leave your junk in my house in Jesus' name. And now tell the Lord, I'm free. Thank you, Jesus. Tell him you're free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I'm free. Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that I'm absolutely clean and I'm free. That vessel that came in and unloaded all of its junk in me with attitude, I'm forgiven. I'm free. I'm clean. And Lord, I believe right now that every person that has prayed, you're clean. In Jesus' name. I pray, God, that we can leave tonight with a fresh confidence that we can say to the mountain of any attack tonight, that comes by the power of the work of darkness, that we can say by the Spirit, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, be thou removed in Jesus' name. Amen. Now give him thanks tonight, beloved. Just give him thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.